The Murder of the Maharaja by H.R.S. Keating, dramatized by Neville Teller, with Zia Mohideen, Sam Dastor, Renu Setner, and Lyndon Gregory.
You must say if you're not entirely comfortable, Divan Sahib.
Oh, but Highness, I assure you, I'm most comfortable. Indeed, I'm extremely grateful to be allowed to recline, even though I'm in the same chamber as your Highness.
Well, you can scarcely be expected to read the newspaper standing up. Not at your age, Divan Sahib.
Oh, your Highness is too kind.
Quite. And which journals arrived in Bhopal this morning?
Highness, I have here the New York Times of 5 days ago.
Mm. Well, get on with it, Divan Sahib.
Thank you, Highness. Depression hits U.S. auto industry. Automobile production slumped in last quarter of 1929, according to official figures released today.
Something else?
Of course, Highness. Workers took to the street in New York yesterday in a demonstration which quickly turned violent. A city spokesman claimed that the riots, already dubbed Red Tuesday, were communist-inspired.
Enough, Divan Sahib. Why must I be filling my head with New York and its Red Tuesdays? If they cannot control their communists there, then they should be reading about Bhopal and the way we do things here.
Oh, certainly. We have so far avoided riots here, Highness.
Yes, but to more important matters. Did you know that this morning I received a piece of sapura bark?
Yes, Highness, so I was informed.
Oh, Divan, you take such care to be informed of every little thing.
But, Highness, if the state is to be run smoothly, I must indeed know every little thing.
Well, be careful that one of these days there isn't some big thing you don't know about, Divan, sir.
Indeed, I hope not, Highness.
Quite. But the sapura bark, Divan Sahib.
Yes, Highness.
I think I have a use for it.
A use for sapura bark, Highness? I have thought it singularly useless. Precious because of its rarity, of course. I believe the last piece was found more than 20 years ago. But what use can your Highness have for a piece of bark that turns as hard as iron on contact with water?
I have thought of an excellent use, Divan. Little Michael takes tea with me today. Huh? You knew that, of course.
Oh, of course, Highness.
So upright English resident will be sending his son in his official car, will he not?
I imagine so, Highness.
Divan, imagine the scene after we've had our tea. Little Michael is about to depart. He comes out onto the steps in front of the palace. I am with him, other people also, down to the foot of the steps where Sir Arthur's car is waiting. Little Michael gets in, the resident chauffeur starts up the motor, and what?
I do not know, Highness.
Bang, bang, bang! In the exhaust, a piece of sapura bark. Wetted, Divan, hard as iron, not to be removed by any means.
Highness.
A wonderful April Fool's Day wheeze, Divan. No? What do you say?
Oh, most ingenious, Highness. And yet, if I may venture to remind you, it is only 2 weeks before the Viceroy himself comes to Bhopal. If Sir Arthur were to take it...
Oh, pooh, Divan. Sir Arthur will take it like the English gentleman he is.
Now, Michael, remember your visit this year is on April the 1st. You know, I think I ought to give you a little advice, my boy.
Yes, Father?
The Indian does not always possess our proper sense of restraint. You know what restraint is, my boy.
I think so, Father. Isn't it what you've got?
Well, yes, Michael, perhaps it is. However, the point is that today, being the 1st of April, the Maharaja may well take it into his head to, well, to play some April Fool's Day trick or other. If that should be the case, my boy, I hope I can trust you to take it as an English gentleman should.
Oh, yes, Father.
Oh, no, Divan, trust me, Sir Arthur will take it like a gentleman.
But you want the Viceroy's visit to be a complete success, Highness.
Of course. How else will I hold up my head in the Chamber of Princes?
But
this little joke will spoil nothing. Nothing. If necessary, I will apologize after, like a gentleman.
The Viceroy's visit brings me to another matter, Highness.
Very well.
The question of the Rajkumar. I feel it is important that while His Excellency is in Popor, it should not be in any way evident that...
Is it Miss Brattle you are trying not to refer to, Divan? I tell you, I have already dealt with the matter. I have made it altogether clear to my son that there can be no question of a marriage to Miss Brattle. No question at all.
Dolly, I love you.
Oh.
I love your eyes, your bright, bright blue eyes. I love your hair. Oh, Dolly, promise me one thing.
Georgie, Borgie, Poe, Dolly will promise. Oh. Really and truly, Dolly will.
Then you will never, never stop shingling your beautiful, beautiful blonde hair.
Shall if I want.
Oh, never, you promise.
What have I promised, then?
You promise never, never to stop shingling your beautiful, beautiful blonde hair.
Oh, beastly, Borgie, Poe, to drop a girl like that. Now you've got to promise.
I promise.
Then marry me. You promise, Porgie. I want us to get married. Now, Porgie, now. Next week.
But, my darling girl, we can't get married in a week.
Yes, we can. Why not?
Because when you marry me, little shinglehead, you're marrying the Rajkumar of Bhopur. There have to be ceremonies, Brahmin priests and all that. And guests. Oh, hundreds of guests.
But can't we send out the invitations now? Today. Then we could be married the week after next or something.
The week after next, my darling, we'll have a visitor.
What visitor? What does a silly old visitor matter?
But, darling Dolly, it's the Viceroy. You must remember that he'll be here in just 2 weeks to open Papa's dam.
Oh, damn the dam and damn that awful Joe Lloyd, always boiling up about it. You'd think he was the one who owned it instead of you.
But I don't own it, my darling. Papa does.
Well, all right, but you're going to own it, aren't you? When you're the Maharaja.
But that might not be for a long, long while.
I wish it was now. Yes, I do. Oh, I know he's your father and all that. But, Porgie, if you were Maharaja, you could do anything you liked. You could marry me tomorrow.
The negotiations for a suitable bride for the Rajkumar are continuing, Highness. But, as you know, these matters cannot be hurried. There are horoscopes to be matched. There is a question of dowry.
Yes, yes, Divansar.
So, Highness, if I could have your assurance that while these negotiations are still in progress, there will be no question of some hole-and-corner marriage, some dash by aeroplane to a London Register office, or to that Gretna Green place in Scotland.
Ivan, I have warned him. If anything of the sort happens, I shall disown him. At once. To more immediate matters. The Viceroy's visit. When can we expect our American guests?
The current whereabouts of Mr. Henry Morton III, Highness, I do not know. But I believe that Mr. Joe Lloyd's sister, together with her daughter, Miss Judy Alcott, are at present on the train from Bombay.
Oh, this heat! Oh, my God, this is terrible! You know, Judy, I don't think I'm going to be able to stand this.
Oh, come on, Mother. Just think, we're going to be guests of a Maharaja. He's so rich, I guess he has no idea how much money he's got. And jewels, and elephants.
I don't want anything to do with elephants. Elephants ought to be in zoos, behind bars, where I'm safe from them.
You'll be safe in Bhopur, Mother. The Maharaja isn't about to let his guests be trampled to... Well, be hurt by any of his elephants. Besides, Uncle Joe's there. He's been out in India years now, building that dam. He knows the ropes.
We should never have come. I just knew it when I saw that invitation card. All that red paper and gold string. It's just not American. Lost that scenery. Only look outside.
Camels! A whole string of camels! Why, isn't that just too romantic?
Camels! They bite, don't they? Remember to ask your Uncle Joe.
There is one more thing, Highness.
Mm? Speak up, man.
As you know, Mr. Joe Lloyd is most anxious that when the dam is open, it shall be allowed to operate to its full capacity. This will mean almost certainly that the level of the water in the lakes will rise.
Ivan, I have spoken already on that matter. The water level in the Gilles must not rise. The imperial sandgrass will not nest, and I cannot allow that. What would Bhopal be without its shikar for imperial sandgrass? Why, guns come from all over India, from all over the world.
Yes, Highness, but the extra flow of water will mean a great deal more land could be cultivated. Mr. Lloyd...
No more of this. I know what Mr. Lloyd has explained. He has shouted and shouted that my decision is final, Divan. The water level in the Gilles will rise over my dead body. I shall explain this to the Viceroy.
Yes, Highness.
Which reminds me, where is my ADC? Hasn't Captain Ram Singh returned from Panna yet? He was due back yesterday. I'll hardly have time to see him before 4 o'clock at this rate.
Oh, he has not arrived yet, Highness. Shall I see that he is sent to you as soon as he arrives?
No, no. I'll not have my tea party for little Michael spoilt. He's a good little Englishman. Whatever quarrels we may have with the English, I admire him. 1 hour is to be allowed for our tea party, and no one is to disturb us.
Your Highness, I have the honour to present Master Michael St. John Pendeverell.
Little Michael, welcome to my humble abode. Come in, my dear fellow. Come forward. Join me up here. Here's your special seat by the throne, as usual, and your own table. Take a pew.
Thank you, Maharaja, sir.
As you know, religious considerations debar me from sharing food with, well, if you will pardon the expression, an infidel. But we shall have a splendid party, nonetheless. Splendid. Now, do have something to eat. Bera, serve the dear fellow a selection of sandwiches. Did you know that a few years ago, no one here had the faintest idea of what a tea-time sandwich was? I got Fortnum's to send a box full of samples all the way from England. I must say they weren't all that appetizing by the time they arrived. But my chef got the idea. Now you must eat, my boy. A youngster like you needs plenty to eat. Hmm. Excellent. Now what would you like to drink? Ginger beer? Now, these bottles arrived from Harrods only last week.
Thank you, Maharaja Sahib. I should like some ginger beer very much.
Better pour the dear fellow a ginger beer. And now, Michael, how are you getting on? Last year, I recall, you were not yet allowed to have a gun. Do you have one yet?
Oh, yes, Maharaja Sahib. And I'm a jolly good shot, too. Everyone says so.
Hmm.
Well, not my father, of course. But nearly everyone.
Good. Well, one day, I'll take you shooting, and I shall judge for myself. Hey, did I ever tell you about the first gun that I had?
I don't remember, Maharaja, sir.
Well, I was 10 years old, just your age, my dear chap. And it was halfway through the clay pigeon shoot when his loader came to the blank cartridges. Pull! He shouts and bangs away. Of course, nothing. My dear David, I said, bad luck. A bit off form today?
And did you ever tell him the truth?
Good heavens, no. Half the fun of a practical joke is that you're the only one in the know. Anyway, guests at Sandringham do not admit to playing practical jokes on the Prince of Wales. But I'm confessing it to you, my dear fellow, and when I'm dead and gone, I give you permission to tell His Royal Highness, if you ever chance to meet him, oh, he'll be His Imperial Majesty the King Emperor by then, no doubt. Well, Michael, it's been a great pleasure. And now, I'll see you out.
See me out? But, Maharaja Sahib, you don't do that. You never do that.
Well, well, sometimes we must do something we've never done before, you know. What's the good of having rules, my dear fellow, if you can't break them every now and again, eh? My goodness, there's quite a party here to see you off, Michael. Even the Rajkumar and Miss Brattle have turned out. I see you're back, Captain Ram Singh.
Quite unavoidably delayed, Highness. Most regrettable.
Quite. Divan Sahib, bring Lieutenant Freer over to say goodbye to Michael.
Go at once, Highness. I do hope you've had a pleasant afternoon, Michael Sahib.
Thank you, very pleasant.
Goodbye, Michael. Would you please tell your father that I'll be over to see him later on?
Of course, Lieutenant Frere.
Well, goodbye then, Michael.
Goodbye, and thank you, Maharaja, sir.
I hope you have a pleasant drive back to the residency. Michael Saab, there appears to be something stuck in your exhaust pipe. Eh? Happy April Fool, Michael. Happy April Fool.
Jolly good joke, Maharaja Saab.
My boy, this is a piece of sapura bark. Do you know what that is?
Yes, Maharaja Saab. You told me about it last time I came to tea.
Did I? Captain Ram Singh.
Highness?
Yeah, catch. Now you'll have to change your gloves. It makes everything it touches bright orange.
What do you mean, marry Dolly Brattle?
Why marry? But, Father, this is 1930. You don't understand.
Of course I understand. Do you think your father doesn't know what it is to feel love? Why, I'm feeling love at this moment. That girl from the South I saw at the club in Calcutta. Did you know she's here in Bhopal?
That's got nothing to do with this, Father, if you'll excuse me.
It's got everything to do with it. What you feel for this Dolly creature is just exactly what I feel for Meenakshi. It is love. Love. That doesn't mean any marrying.
Father, Dolly wants to marry me, and I love her.
Enough, Porgy. No more stupidity. Love you can have at any time. Do you think I was celibate when I married first Her Highness? Good gracious. I was given my first concubine as a present from my father when I was 16. Marriage has nothing to do with love. Marriage is a question of izzat, of prestige, of keeping up the position of the state.
Father, Dolly will agree to nothing less than marriage. I have promised her, Father. I have given my word.
Then you had no business to give your word. No business to make promises to a slut.
By heaven!
Don't forget yourself, my boy. You wouldn't be the first son of this house to be thrown into a dungeon by his father.
Goodbye, Father!
Porgy! Since when, Porgy, has it been the custom for anyone to leave my presence without making mujra? Precisely. And now I think I'll practice a little shooting. You will come out to the back lawn and watch.
Very good, Father.
Kindly inform the Divan that I shall be shooting in 20 minutes' time. Officials and guests are required to be present.
Yes, Father.
Joe, Joe, what do I do, for heaven's sakes? Do I bow, Joe? Joe, I don't have to kiss his hand, do I? Do I, Joe?
Oh, I guess I didn't when I first came.
This is all gone. I'm most happy to welcome the sister of Mr. Joe Lloyd, the man who has built us a dam that will long be the pride of Bhopal.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You will excuse me if I do not shake hands. Unfortunately, today I am untouchable. My astrologers tell me that I'm in that state. And I must accept it. You understand?
Oh, yes. Yes, I understand perfectly, Maharaja.
And this is your daughter? Mr. Lloyd, you told me nothing of her beauty and charm.
Well, I guess I didn't know she had any.
My dear young lady, you must meet some of the younger people we have here. My son, the Rajkumar.
Oh, how do you do?
Delighted to meet you, Your Highness.
Oh, no, you must call me Porgy. These are modern times. We can't always be standing on ceremony.
Then, hello, Porgy.
And this is a friend of my son's from his time at Cambridge, Lieutenant James Frere.
Miss Alcott, I do hope you're going to call me James.
James, yes. But you must call me Judy.
Judy. Judy, yes, I will.
And this must be Mr. Henry Morton III.
That's right.
My dear sir, I cannot tell you how happy I am to welcome you to Bhopal. Divan Sahib? Divan?
Highness.
Did you know that this is Mr. Henry Morton III, the great owner of zinc concessions in America?
Your cable inviting me to dinner tonight sure was a surprise, Maharaja. Especially coming so soon after you'd turned my proposition down flat. I shall be most happy to discuss the business with you at any time convenient.
Yes, yes. Divan Sahib and I will take steps to have the most thorough discussions with you as soon as possible. But not today. Oh. Today is for enjoyment. First, I myself am going to take a little shooting practice. You are, of course, under no obligation to stay.
Then I guess I'll go to my room and look over the figures I'll present to your advisors just as soon as I can.
Oh, as you wish, Mr. Morton. In that case, I shall see you at dinner. Cocktails at 8:30. We sit down at 9.
My dear Mrs. Alcott, could I press you to try my favorite cocktail?
Why, what is that, Maharaja? It reminds me of a chocolate malt.
It's an Alexander, vermouth and creme de cacao topped with whipped cream. Quite delicious, I assure you.
I guess I'll just stick with dry martinis.
As you wish.
Mr. Morton, have you ever tried an Alexander?
Alexander?
Dear, I'm sorry. I just don't like this place.
You don't have to like it, Mother. Just enjoy seeing it.
Well, I do, Judy. Or I will. When it's all over, I'll be tickled to death I've done it. Right now, I just find the place sinister. And I'm sure sinister things are going to happen.
Your Highness, Your Excellency, ladies and gentlemen, dinner is served.
Now, Mrs. Alcott, you see this little silver train?
Oh, I sure do, Maharaja. I was just asking myself about that. I guess I've never seen a train on a dinner table before. Not even a table as vast as this. Not that I've ever sat at a dinner table as vast as this, of course.
But note that the rails go all round the table.
Oh, yes, Maharaja. Are the rails silver, too?
Yes, yes, of course. Silver, all silver. It is best. The engine was made for me by Hornby, but the coachwork and rails are all by Aspreys of London, you know.
Oh, yes, Aspreys.
When we get to the dessert, you will see. I press this silver knob, and off she goes, my little train, on her great journey around the table. If anyone wishes to take something from the trucks, sweets, port, liqueur, then you've only to lift up the dish or bottle while the train passes, and automatically it stops until you've helped yourself.
Pretty clever, Maharaja. Only there are all of 50 people around this table. It's sure going to take a hell of a time till the trucks reach me.
Don't worry, Mr. Morton. The train will reach you as soon as you could wish. I promise you that.
Not if it can be stopped by all 50 people around the table, it won't.
But you see, Mr. Morton, it won't be stopped by 50 people. 40 of the guests here know better than to stop Papa's train once you set it going.
Oh, you reassure me.
I think it's marvellous the way you're having that dam built, Maharaja.
Well, my dear young lady, one must do one's best for one's people.
Oh, I'm sure you do that, Maharaja. But I was wondering why you don't go right ahead and let Uncle Joe make full use of them. If the water irrigated as much as it possibly could, would you think of the extra good it would
be? Mr. Lloyd.
Maharaja.
Mr. Lloyd, have you been influencing this young lady? I have said, and I will not say again. Only over my dead body will the water levels in the Gills rise 1 inch above what they've always been. The game birds will continue to come to Beauport, and we shall continue to have our shooting. Is that understood?
Maharaja, I haven't put one damn word into that girl's mouth. But I'll tell you this. You are wrong not to let my dam work to the full, and I don't care who hears me say this. It is nothing short of murder. You are condemning to death all those poor guys who benefit from water flow, killing them, Maharaja.
Mr. Lloyd, you've told me all this before. Mr. Morton, when I forbade any talk of business earlier today, I gained the impression that as an efficient American businessman, you were not quite content. Was I correct?
I guess so, Maharaja. If there's a deal to be discussed, Henry Morton wants to get down to business right away.
Then shall we talk it over here and now? And, Divan Saab, I want you to listen to this most carefully.
Highness.
Now, Mr. Morton, I understand that you wish to exploit the zinc lying in large quantities beneath the salt lake of this state.
More than that, Maharaja. I want to use the labor you have here. I saw quite enough on the way from the airport. You have guys here by the hundred doing nothing but pick at the earth with tools in use since man was little more than a monkey. I want to build factories here, Maharaja, and get those guys to work on the ore they dig from your lakes. And I guess there's no nonsense of union hours and union rates here, eh, Maharaja?
Oh, I'm sure that if I was to order men to work for you, they would do it.
Oh, Highness.
Divan Saab, you have some suggestion to make? You can see a way of providing our good Mr. Morton here with even more workers?
Highness, I remember Mr. Morton's letter to you in the first instance. I recall that we had decided that any such proposition was unacceptable.
Did we, Divan? And why did we think that?
Maharaja, the tradition of the state. To make your people into slaves to this,
Come, Divan. American workers are not slaves. It's modern methods we're bringing in. Isn't that so, Mr. Morton?
That's right.
Modern methods?
Highness, how many times have we congratulated ourselves that Bopor is escaping the worst of the modern world, that our people, though poorer than many in the West, are content. But now you are proposing, Highness, to bring in the very poison we have fought to keep out. If the people of Bopor are to be crowded into factories and made to work long hours in bad conditions, how long before we have trade unions here? Trade unions in Bopor? Oh, agitation! Terrorists! Think, Highness, think, I beg you.
Divan Sahib, I can see you object to Mr. Morton's most interesting proposals. Perhaps we had better thrash the whole matter out together before I proceed.
Certainly, Highness.
Alas, Mr. Morton, tomorrow I have arranged for a game shoot on the Geels first thing, so these discussions will have to be postponed till later in the morning. Now, my dear Mrs. Alcott, I've been neglecting you. Let me tell you all about the shikar. That is our Indian word for hunting, you know. I hope you will accompany us tomorrow morning.
I hope I don't have to shoot any guns myself, Maharaja.
Oh, but we must teach you to shoot before you leave Bhopal, Mrs. Alcott.
Maharaja, I trust you'll excuse me. The fact is, I was once involved in a hunting accident. A rifle got something jammed in its barrel and exploded in my face. It was an absolute miracle I wasn't killed. I've never fired a weapon since, and I never will.
Of course, Mr. Morton, I understand. Terrible thing to have happened. Excuse me. Vera, my meal.
At once, Highness.
I was wondering why your father wasn't eating.
Oh, the Maharaja eats only food prepared under the direct supervision of his personal bearer. It comes, as you see, on a golden salver with the lid secured by a padlock. His personal bearer has the only key.
Lordy, why all the precautions?
Oh, for very good reasons, my dear Judy. Believe me, a good half dozen of my ancestors have succumbed to poison in one form or another. The rulers of our states are always surrounded by enemies.
Isn't that just too awful, Porgy? But you won't be when you're Maharaja, will you?
Well, unlock it then.
At once, Highness.
Splendid. A meal fit for a Maharaja. Oh, we've had such fun today. It has been the best April Fool's Day that I remember. Poor Lieutenant Freer, did you enjoy your morning tea?
I might have done, Maharaja, if there hadn't been quite so much sorted.
Sir Arthur, how about you? Did you by any chance receive a telegram from the Viceroy this morning?
Why, yes, Maharaja, a most disquieting piece of news. Summoned to His Excellency, told that I was to be sent home in disgrace. Gave me a bad quarter of an hour, I can tell you.
And then you realized that the address on the form was my palace and not the Viceregal Lodge. Isn't that it? Isn't that it?
I did indeed, Maharaja. You can count me as one of your victims.
Poison! Poison!
Captain Ram Singh!
Highness!
Captain Ram Singh, what are you doing here? Why are you standing so near to my food? Traitor! You have tried to kill me! The poison is still on you, the little bottle. It'll be there, the evidence.
But Highness, I assure you. Highness, if I am guilty, if I have the evidence on me still, search me. Have me searched.
Yes, yes, that is what we shall do. We'll have you searched, and then we shall have proof. Lieutenant Freer. Would you be so kind as to do me a small favor? Would you take Captain Ram Singh to your rooms and search him? Search him, Mr. Freer, from top to toe, so that you will find even the smallest phial of poison.
Yes, Maharaja, I understand. Captain Ram Singh, would you kindly accompany me? Your Highness, I beg to report that I have searched Captain Ram Singh with the utmost thoroughness, and that I have found nothing.
Thank you, Mr. Freer. Captain Ram Singh, do not believe you have escaped me. You may have no poison on you. Perhaps the food wasn't even poisoned. But I'm not letting any enemy of mine go free to plot against me. Guards!
Your Highness! Your Highness, I have done nothing. I am innocent. Innocent!
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we must start the little train. The departure has been disgracefully delayed. Are you ready, everyone? Quick, Mrs. Allcott, quick. Lift something off. 34 crystallized fruit. Lift, or you will miss the train.
Oh dear, what shall I...
Nuts, Mother, you must not.
Nuts, oh, yes, yes, nuts. No, if I put it back, does it go off again, Maharaja?
Yes, yes, just see, just see. Now, Porgy, your turn. Halt it, halt it. Take something.
I'm waiting for the poor father. It's not reached me yet.
Oh, very well. What about you, Miss Brattle? Take the chocolates.
Just as you say.
I have them brought all the way from Switzerland. Oh. Now, Mr. Morton, it's you. See, you haven't waited too long for your turn. Take, take.
Oh, I think I'd prefer just a cigar.
No, take, Mr. Morton. Take while you can. Take creme de cacao.
Well, as you wish. What the hell? God almighty, my shirt front's ruined. Damn cuckoo stuff spurting out all over the place.
April Fool! April Fool! Oh, Mr. Morton, what a good one. What a beauty. It was worth bringing you all the way from America just for that. Very good. There'll be a big bag today. Bring up the purdies now, Bella. Let's see if they're as good as they look.
Here, Highness, purdie number one.
Beautifully weighted. What do you think of this, Miss Allcott?
It sure is a beautiful gun, Maharaja.
It is. Beaters! Next gun.
Maharaja! Maharaja!
What? What? What's happened?
The gun, it exploded in his hand.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God, didn't I know something awful would happen?
Oh, he's dead, James. He's dead.
I'm afraid he is. What a terrible thing to happen. What an appalling accident.
Rajkumar.
Yes, Devon. What is it?
Rajkumar, I have looked at the birdie. It was not an accident that made it explode.
Not an accident?
I have looked well at the barrel of the gun, Rajkumar. Into it, someone had pushed something. I can even tell what that thing was, Rajkumar.
And what had been put in the gun's barrel, Devon?
It was a piece of Sapura bark. A piece of Sapura bark was pushed deep into the barrel, and then it was wetted. Of that, I am certain.
Then it was murder. The Maharaja was murdered.
What is more, Sir Arthur, only a limited number of people could have performed the act.
Explain yourself, Diwan.
Your Excellency, yesterday his late highness, played a simple April Fool's Day trick that involved the use of Sapura bark. Do you happen to know the properties of Sapura bark, Sir Arthur?
I can't say I do, Diwan. What is Sapura bark?
Well, there are very few Sapura trees in India. Occasionally, the bark of one of these obscure trees develops a sort of growth or outcrop. When this portion of the bark is removed, it is normally very soft and easy to mold. But once it gets into contact with a little water, it hardens to an iron hardness. Yesterday, Your Excellency, His Late Highness had some of this bark stuffed into the exhaust of Your Excellency's car.
Michael?
Yes, Father, that's what happened.
You didn't tell me?
No, Father. I thought she'd get into a bait. But the Maharaja did play a trick on me. The rolls didn't just break down, as I said.
Michael, this is no place for you. I want you to go straight back to the car and tell Ahmed to drive you home. Wait for me there.
Yes, Father.
Now, Diwan, perhaps you'd finish your explanation.
Certainly, Sir Arthur. A piece of Sapura bark was brought to the palace yesterday morning, the first for almost 30 years. It was in His Late Highness's possession until he gave a portion to his personal bearer to put in the exhaust pipe of your car. An April Fool's Day jape.
So what you're saying, Duan, is that the Maharaja's murder is a direct copy of yesterday's somewhat unfortunate joke.
Precisely. And that the person responsible for the death of His Highness must have been one of those who knew about that joke, saw it take place.
Very well, then, Duan. Name them. I take it you're in a position to do so.
Yes, Your Excellency, because I myself was there. I name myself first.
Very good, Duan. And the others?
There were not many of us, Your Excellency. Most of His Highness's guests had not even arrived in the state at the time. Mrs. Alcott and Miss Alcott were still on their train, and Mr. Henry Morton was in His Highness's aeroplane. So, only four are left, or five if we include Master Michael.
And that's not necessary. So, the four are...
First of all, Rajkumar. Of course, it is unthinkable that... that you were there, Rajkumar.
Yes, Devon, I was there. And it is right that you should include me on your list.
Thank you, Rajkumar. Then there was Miss Brattle. You know Miss Brattle, Your Excellency?
Yes, I have met Miss Brattle.
I don't know anything about it. I was with Porgy when your car wouldn't stop, but I certainly didn't understand what was going on.
Very well. And the others, Diwan?
There was me.
Ah, Lieutenant Prayer.
I think I was rather brought out there to be an audience for the Maharaja's joke. Still, I certainly cottoned on to what had happened.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
There's one thing, sir.
Yes?
Your driver was present.
Yes, Ahmed most certainly must have known what had happened to my car, but I don't see how he could have got hold of more bark afterwards. Stuff doesn't soften up again, I take it?
Oh, no, Your Excellency. Once wetted, it stays as hard as iron ever afterwards.
I guess I am the only other person who saw that trick performed yesterday.
Oh, that's not quite correct, Mr. Lloyd. Captain Ram Singh was there as well. However, he was unable to be present this morning, so he too can be discounted.
Yes. Five people. Rajkumar, Miss Brattle, Lieutenant Frere, Mr. Lloyd, and you, Diwan. Rajkumar, I hope I may have the honor of calling on you as soon as possible after the funeral ceremony. Maharaja, I do not have to tell you that the situation is extremely serious. The Viceroy is due to arrive in exactly 13 days' time. It's quite out of the question for His Excellency to visit a state on whose ruler the suspicion of the...
There is clearly a need to establish the guilty party.
And quickly. If the matter's not cleared up, H.E.'s visit will have to be cancelled. I suppose some shikar somewhere could be arranged instead, but we should have to give him at least a week's warning. At least.
I see. That means...
We have 6 days. There's only one course open to us, Maharaja. As you know, I have the greatest respect for your cousin, the chief of the Bhopal police, but in the circumstances...
Of course. So, what do you suggest, Your Excellency?
District Superintendent of Police Howard, the DSP of Sangabad, you know.
Yes, I have heard of him.
An excellent officer, excellent, remarkable record of successes. Only...
Yes?
Well, he's country born, you know. Nothing wrong with that, of course, but his parents educated him here. Never sent him back home. It never does. They become attached to India. Some sort of link. Not a good thing.
No.
But an excellent officer, DSP Howard. And I'm afraid I shall have to ask you to call him in as a matter of urgency. Extreme urgency.
Excuse me?
Yes, sir. How can I be of help?
Am I on the right road for the Maharaja's summer palace?
Oh, yes, sir. Straight along. Only 6 miles more. I'm going there myself.
Then hop in.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, no, not back there. Come and sit beside me. Thank you. What takes you to the summer palace?
Oh, I am His Highness's schoolmaster. Or rather, until yesterday's tragic incident,
I was engaged to instruct the various royal children. Now all is in doubt.
And what happened yesterday?
Sub, I most respectfully suggest that you are very well knowing the tragic incident that occurred by the Jills here in Beauport yesterday a.m. For, would I be wrong to think that I have the honor of addressing District Superintendent of Police Howard?
No, you'd be right. Though I'm a little surprised that everyone in Beauport knows already that I've been called in.
Oh, no, DSP Sub, not everyone. It is only myself who is putting two and two together.
You said all was in doubt about your position as the late Maharaja's schoolmaster?
The new His Highness may be wanting to make other arrangements. Also, yesterday, I was taken away from the schoolroom altogether and requested to act as guide to the European visitors to the palace.
And are you thinking that one of the people you showed round the palace yesterday could have been the person who killed the Maharaja?
Oh, Sahib, I would not think a thing of that nature, not at all.
You damn well would. Now let's hear. Or do I stop the car and put you out to walk again?
No, Sahib. It is a most relaxing way of travel. It is of Lloyd, Sahib, I'm thinking.
The engineer of the new dam, yes.
So, Sahib will well know that Lloyd, Sahib, has been building the dam for many, many months. And that he is very, very proud of what he has done.
And?
And Maharaja Sahab was not allowing all the water to be released by the dam. He wanted the level in his jills to stay as before.
Well, if that's the limit of your suspicion, Schoolmaster Sahab, I think you'd better tell me what you can about the other visitors to Beauport before we find ourselves at the palace.
As the Sahab pleases. Number one, then, should be Lieutenant Freer. Indian Army. He is altogether a most estimable young man, a friend in England of now His Highness. Of him, there is nothing more to say, except to be adding that already he has fallen most terribly in love with one of the American visitors, Lloyd Saab's niece, Miss Judy Alcott.
All right, so sentimental conjectures apart, what else?
Yes, Saab, I fear we cannot set aside sentimental conjectures, not at all.
Very well then, conjecture on, Schoolmaster Saab.
It concerns now His Highness, Saab, and a certain person, a European.
Yes, that would be Miss Dorothy Brattle. Go on.
The former Maharaja would never have permitted any matrimonial arrangement. That is well known. But Brattle, ma'am, Saab, she is already not a young lady. Oh, DSP Saab, I am thinking she could very well stoop to murder to achieve her ends. Oh, my goodness, yes.
And let me add, to save you the pain of mentioning it, that there's an equal motive there for His Present Highness himself. Enough said. Have you anything else to tell me before we part company? Because on the whole, I think it would be best if we did not arrive at the palace together. You won't mind completing the last half mile on foot.
DSP Saab is very wise. Well, Saab, there is the Divan.
Yes, tell me about him.
Well, Saab, it is like this. For many months, late His Highness has been distrusting the Divan. Why that is, nobody is altogether knowing. But many people have said that it would not be long before Beauport was seeing a new Divan.
Well, dismissing officials is not so unusual. I believe the late Maharaja's ADC, Captain Ram Singh, was removed from office only 2 days ago. And quite publicly.
Oh, but DSP Saab, Sir Akhtar has been Diwan of Beauport for many, many years. And it is well known that he is putting the interests of the state above all things in the world, even above his own life.
Or anybody else's. And the new Maharaja, does he care for Sir Akhtar?
Sahab, he has already announced that Sir Akhtar is to be his Diwan also.
I see. All right, Schoolmaster Saab, you better hop out now.
Thank you.
Oh, and it would never do for anyone at the palace to know that you were my pair of eyes there. Much less my pair of ears.
I'm afraid there is no more time, Mr. Howard. What do you mean to do?
Well, sir, I had hoped to get at the answer through that piece of Sapura bark, the bit the Maharaja flung over to Captain Ram Singh. Mm. It seems the captain pushed it into his pocket. And there it stayed, sir, forgotten by him, until Lieutenant Freer carried out that search during the dinner you attended.
Yes, and a pretty disgraceful business that was. I do not speak ill of the dead, Howard, but the late Maharaja's whims were often irritating beyond endurance.
I imagine they were, sir.
Well, go on, man, go on.
The piece of Sapura bark was placed on the stool in Lieutenant Freer's bathroom, sir, in the course of the search. And when it was over, Ram Singh, I gather, was so embarrassed by the whole thing that he simply crammed what he could into his pockets and left a handful of rubbish on the stool, including the piece of Sapura bark.
Appalling carelessness.
I dare say, sir. And anyone could have gone in and taken it.
But someone like Sir Akhtar Ali doesn't wander into other people's bathrooms uninvited. Nor, for that matter, would I expect the Raj Kumar to do so.
No, sir. Except that he and Lieutenant Freer are friends, he might have dropped in on him.
Oh, I see.
The point is, sir, Sapura stains so badly that a week's hard washing won't get the stuff off. The fingers are marked bright orange. Oh. The Maharaja's personal bearer who carried out that trick on your roll, sir, has two bright orange palms to his hands at this instant.
And which of our five suspects has the telltale traces?
None of them, sir. Oh. But that's perfectly to be expected when you think of it. You see, they all quite clearly heard the Maharaja telling everybody that the stuff stains. Our culprit would have taken damn good care not to get the stain on his hands. His or her hands.
To tell the truth, Mr. Hard, my mind's an absolute blank about what happened out there by the Jeels. Shock, I suppose.
And then perhaps, Maharaja, you can tell me about your relations with Miss Brattle.
My relations?
Yes, come, come, Maharaja. You must have expected to be questioned about Miss Brattle.
You won't believe this.
Perhaps not, but let me be the judge of that.
I'm not going to marry her. I know it seems ridiculous when everybody knew I had more than just one fearful row with my father over just that.
But now you no longer contemplate marriage?
You think I'm just trying to prove I didn't have a motive for killing Papa. Well, that's not so. I didn't know I was going to feel like this. But then, almost the moment Papa was dead, I knew I couldn't marry Dolly. Well, she just can't be the Maharani of Bhopal. I see that now.
But until your father was dead, you continued to believe that you wished to marry Miss Brattle.
Yes. So I had a motive. But, Mr. Howard, believe me, I did not kill Papa.
Can you prove that?
You know I can't. But there are others, aren't there? There's Sir Akhtar. Did you know Papa was trying to get him to resign?
Really?
And it was all a great joke. A great practical joke. You know Papa had a certain fondness for practical jokes.
Maharaja, this whole affair revolves around that unfortunate taste of your father's.
Quite so. Well, my father was playing a joke on the divan. A really tremendous joke.
What joke, Maharaja?
A joke about that American. Henry Morton III, as he calls himself. You see, Mr. Hard, all that business about zinc mining in Bhopal, you know about that, do you?
I know.
Well, the whole damn thing was just being got up by Papa. He'd absolutely no intention of allowing that man to set up factories and everything and turn Bhopal into a second Chicago. He got that chap Morton to come here and pretended he was going ahead with the scheme simply to infuriate Devon Saab, perhaps to make him resign. He was absolutely fed up with always being told what was best for the state. If Sir Akhtar had resigned, Papa would have been as pleased as Punch.
Good afternoon, Schoolmaster Saab. Why aren't you sleeping like the rest of the palace?
Good afternoon, DSP Saab. But you are also defying sleep.
I have work to do and too little time to do it in.
And I have a book to read, DSP Saab. But please, consider my time as yours.
Then perhaps I'll sit beside you for a few moments and take a little rest.
DSP Saab, I have not ceased from speculation about the murder of late His Highness.
Speculation?
The question of Sapura Bark, DSP Saab, which was thrown by His Highness to Captain Ram Singh. I was talking by chance to Captain Ram Singh only this morning.
Were you indeed?
Congratulating him on his release, and he mentioned the matter to me.
Did he? So now we have the bark in one of Captain Ram Singh's pockets. But do you know what happened to it next?
As it happens, DSP Saab, I was having a few words with Lieutenant Freer yesterday.
You surprised me.
And he informed me that the piece of bark came to light when Captain Ram Singh was being searched on His Highness's orders in Lieutenant Freer's bathroom. It was left with a few other trifles on the bathroom stool when that search was concluded.
But when Mr. Freer's bearer looked into the bathroom next morning, the Sapura bark was not there. Did you happen to talk with Lieutenant Freer's bearer?
I met the fellow by chance.
By chance?
And we exchanged a few words. He mentioned that the rooms were deserted for the remainder of the evening. But it would surely be a most unlikely circumstance for Miss Dolly Brettle, for example, to enter the rooms of Lieutenant Freer.
A good point, Schoolmaster, sir. And so the matter remains a mystery. What's that you're reading?
The newest work of Mrs. Agatha Christie, The Seven Dials Mystery. Present, His Highness was kind enough to lend me the volume. He invariably obtains the latest detective stories from the Emporium of Messrs. Heralds in London.
Does he? Just. Devon, sir, I need a little information about Captain Ram Singh.
And what's that?
At the end of dinner on the night before he died, His Late Highness ordered the captain to be detained. I have no doubt such an order would be obeyed to the letter.
Oh, of course.
But if a guard charged with watching over someone thrown into prison by His Highness came to know that His Highness would be dead before very long, would he be quite so scrupulous in carrying out his orders?
I can see no possibility is going to escape you, Mr. Howard. And in a way, you are right to ask that question. You see, if Captain Ram Singh had remained at liberty, I would not have been altogether surprised to hear that he had made an attempt on His Highness's life.
Really?
Well, the captain must have been a very desperate man when he arrived back at Bhopal after visiting his father, the Thakur of Panna, you know.
Yes, I know.
He had been sent expressly by His Highness to obtain certain money that his father ought to have paid long ago. He was returning empty-handed. Now, ADC to the Maharaja is a post that many young men of good family aspire to. It leads to high office in the state. Captain Ram Singh must have seen all his hopes about to crumble. Yet he knew that the Maharaj Kumar regarded him as a great friend. If the Maharaja were to die, the captain's prospects would be turned about in an instant.
But still you don't think that he was responsible for the death?
I am absolutely certain, Mr. Howard. Captain Ram Singh did not leave his prison cell until long after the Maharaja was dead.
Miss Brattle!
Miss Brattle, good evening. I was hoping to have a word with you.
Yes, I was just going somewhere.
Oh, so I see. But you know, I think we'd better talk. Now, what's this all about, carting suitcases around the corridors?
Well, damn it, it's no good. I was leaving. Running away, if you must know. But it's not what you think. It's Porgy. Now he's the Maharaja, and suddenly he wants to marry the daughter of some damn prince or other. For me, I'm no longer the one he adores. You know, I thought I was going to do it. I really did. I was as near to pulling it off as damn it is to swearing. Porgy was mad about me. Mad about me. We'd have run off together. And in the end, I'd have been the Maharani.
Perhaps.
You know what I was. You probably heard. In the chorus at the London Pavilion. Then here I was. In the palace at Bhopal. Where the son of the Maharaja prepared to defy his father and marry me. Do you know, when I saw that great fat body lying out there, I could have sung aloud for joy. Yes, sung aloud. There's nothing to stop us now, I thought. He loves me. He's mad about me. We'll be married. I should have picked up one of those guns and put a bullet through my head there and then.
But you hung on.
You're bloody right. That's just what I've been doing. Hanging on. Trying to blackmail Porgy into doing the decent thing. But I should have realised that once you're a blasted Maharaja, you don't play by the rules. Any rules. I should have gone the moment we got back from the jails.
Well, Miss Brattle, I'm sorry, but I can't allow you to leave. You'll have to stay on.
But what do you want to say, Mother? And why do you have to bring me all the way up to the roof to say it?
Come over here, dear.
Oh, Mother. Do stop acting like a villain in an old movie. What on earth is this all about?
Servants.
Where?
No, dear, not here. That's why I brought you up here. But down there, in the palace. They're everywhere, around every corner, flapping their ears.
But they're only waiting to see if there's anything they can do for you. It's their duty. Well, James told me all about it.
James.
Now, don't you dare say a word against James.
He's the sweetest, most upright guy I've ever met.
James, 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 Judy, can't you see? It's James I've got to talk to you about.
What do you mean?
Whatever you think you feel for him, I want you to treat Lieutenant Freer as just a friend, someone you happen to know.
A friend?
But... No, Judy. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me anything. Just do this one thing for me. It's for your own good. Promise me, Judy. Will you promise?
You pass some more of that cake you're eating.
Oh, great, sir. Not eating, Porgy. Hangover or something?
Not at all, my dear James.
I guess the Maharaja's just not hungry.
Oh, quite the reverse, Elaine. It's simply that on religious grounds, I'm not able to eat at the same time as, well, shall we say, people from over the Black Waters.
And what are the Black Waters, for heaven's sakes?
Oh, nothing more terrible than the seas surrounding Hindustan. That's the old name for India, you know.
Oh. You never used to object to eating with fearful strangers?
No, but since I became Maharaja, I find I look on things rather differently. For example, today my priests tell me I'm untouchable.
Does that mean you can't do business?
No, Mr. Morton. I'm perfectly able to handle any business that has to be done. It's only that when anyone passes papers to me, they have to put them on a table and wait for me to pick them up.
How long is this going to go on?
Oh, just for today. Every now and then, the pundits calculate that it's one of my untouchable days, and there's not much I can do about it.
Now listen, Maharaja. I expected an order to go out yesterday for the dam to be put into full operation. It hasn't gone out, has it?
Well, no. Believe me, Mr. Lloyd, I have considered the matter most carefully.
Well, there's nothing to consider. I built that dam to irrigate the maximum feasible area. All I want is your permission to go ahead.
I know what you want, Mr. Lloyd, but
what? Only last week you were telling me how wrong it was to let people go hungry just so the damned Viceroy and his friends can get some good shooting.
Yes, I did say that. But, Mr. Lloyd, consider. That was before my father died. Now I feel I must respect his wishes. The situation has changed.
Maharaja, if you don't give me that order right now, on the spot, I am going to touch you.
Joe, hold it, dear, please.
Well, you're going to give the order to let the waters run, or aren't you?
No, Mr. Lloyd. No. I am not going to rescind the order that my father gave.
Then, by God, this is what I think of ignorance, superstition, and sheer bloody-mindedness.
Mr. Howard,
would you think it daft if I gave you some advice?
I'm always prepared to listen.
I'm sure you are. I've just seen you from one of the windows walking about with that tatty little schoolmaster the old Maharaja kept for his bastards.
You have some advice for me?
Yes. I've been thinking about the murder. Your famous five suspects. Like one of those bloody detective stories Paulie always used to like so much.
He used to like?
Yes. He's gone off them now. Well, your famous five. Has it occurred to you that you might have counted wrong?
How do you mean?
What about Mr. Bloody Henry Morton III, then?
Mr. Morton didn't arrive in Bhopur till long after the late Maharaja had demonstrated what Sapura Bagh could do.
I don't care about that. It's why he could have done it that I've been thinking about.
Indeed.
Indeed, indeed. Don't you ever say anything straight out. Look, that Maharaja monster brought the man all the way to Bloody Bhopur as a joke. Did you know that?
Yes, I knew that.
All right. Put yourself in his place. You're a ruddy millionaire. You come here expecting some big deal that's going to make you another fortune. And then you find out it's all nothing more than an April Fool's trick. So what do you do? You damn well kill the fellow, that's what.
Yes. Do you also read the detective stories His Highness gets sent from Harrods, Miss Brattle?
I don't waste my time with that sort of thing.
And neither do I. I'm a policeman. I deal in facts, such as when things happened and who could have known what.
The bloody Sapura Bagh. So, we're back to your famous five, including Dolly Brattle. Well, it was worth a try.
Oh, yes. I found it most instructive.
Mr. Howard, in 3 days' time, I shall have to cable the Viceroy and cancel his visit. Have you any news for me? How many pairs of hands have you inspected for orange staining?
854 at the last count, sir. All negative. I'm afraid that line of inquiry is petering out.
But you have other lines.
Well, it's been suggested to me, sir, that Mr. Henry Morton killed the Maharaja.
The American?
But why? In a fit of rage when he found he'd been called to Bhopur on a fool's errand.
No, Howard, it won't do. The chap wasn't even in Bhopur when that ridiculous business with my car took place.
Exactly so, sir.
Well, haven't you anything better to suggest?
I'm afraid not, sir. But something's bound to come to light sooner or later.
Later is what I fear, Howard. And a great deal too late at that.
Mr. Morton? Hello there? Do you mind if I join you?
No, come right up. The stairway's along there. The odor's a bit rich up here, but this balcony's a great place to view the elephants.
I guess that's about all I have to do with my time at present.
Very restful, Hathikara. But it must be very irritating for you, Mr. Morton, hanging about waiting till the Maharaja has time to complete your business deal.
Complete the deal? I'm beginning to wonder if the guy's any more intention on doing that than he's sticking the mud farther.
The new Maharaja's playing hard to get, then?
I'll see.
And how far had you got with his father?
No way at all until that dinner. Then he rattled off about the whole plan in front of everyone. I was not 100% pleased.
But why do you think he did that, Mr. Morton?
Do you know what? I think he was doing it to rile that Diwan guy. And my business was the easiest way he could think of.
Well, perhaps you're right. And certainly from all I hear, the Maharaja liked his little joke.
You can say that again. Gee, the way that guy went on and on at dinner about all the crazy tricks he played that day. Like a kid.
So, what's next for you, Mr. Morton?
A session with the new Maharaja, of course. I've got to get that guy on his own and hammer some sense into him. All this cheap labor out here, and not one of them ever so much as heard of a union? My God, what an opportunity.
So, Schoolmaster Sub, I see you finished your Agatha Christie. And what is it now? Ah, Wuthering Heights, A Tale of Passion.
And revenge. Yes, Miss Up?
Tell me, have you met Mr. Morton?
Oh, yes. A somewhat impetuous gentleman. But I understand from my study of Mrs. Agatha Christie that such is often the nature of American millionaires.
Yes, a curious chap. Doesn't seem able to think of anything but his deal with the Maharaja.
Oh, that would be a thoroughly bad business. I sincerely trust His Highness will have nothing at all to do with the scheme. I am altogether certain that late His Highness never would have done.
And yet it was the late Maharaja who summoned Mr. Morton to Bhopal.
Yes, yes. But it is my belief that the whole arrangement was for the sole object of playing yet one more April Fool's Day trick.
Indeed, Schoolmaster Sahib. And who would he have been playing this trick on?
Oh, Sahib, I singularly fear it was upon Sir Akhtar Ali, Diwan of the state.
And so, Schoolmaster Sahib, on the night before the Maharaja was murdered, Sir Akhtar totally believed that His Highness was all set to launch Bhopur on a policy of brutal industrialization.
Sadly, I'm afraid that is a conclusion to which we must come.
Admiring the trophies, Mrs. Olcott?
Oh, they're gruesome. All those beady little eyes staring at you. Just look at that. What do you call it?
That's a rhinoceros, a particularly fine specimen.
Fine? Those red-rimmed eyes? It looks as if it's about to charge at us right off that wall.
I think that's the general idea, Mrs. Olcott.
Oh, how I wish I was out of here. I wish to God I was out of India altogether.
I'm sorry to hear that. India's an astonishingly beautiful place, you know.
I dare say it is, to you. But I'm scared out of my skin from the moment I wake up to the moment I get to bed.
And what about your daughter? Doesn't Judy like it here either?
No, she likes it far too well. And someone she's found in India she likes even better.
Lieutenant Freer.
Lieutenant Freer.
Oh, come, Mrs. Olcott. Freer isn't a bad fellow. He's even something of a catch. His people back home are very well off. A good deal of land, I gather. You can't do much better than that.
Oh, yes, you can. You can find a decent, clean, living, all-American boy.
Is that why you've been giving the impression that somehow you have reason to think young Freer murdered the Maharaja?
Giving the impression?
Making sure servants heard your suspicions. There's no better way.
Mr. Howard, I have to protect my daughter from that man. Oh, is there no way we could all leave now, tonight?
You want your brother to go with you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do. It'd be better, wouldn't it? I mean, we neither of us know how to get about in India. Joe would have to come with us.
And then you could get him safely into hiding.
Hiding? Why should... I don't know what you mean.
I think you do. You've done your best to cast suspicion on young Freer, just so that I shouldn't suspect Joe Lloyd. But you, Mrs. Orcutt, you know your brother. You know how strongly he feels about the dam. You know his temper. Mrs. Orcutt, tell me the truth. You think your brother murdered the Maharaja, don't you?
Schoolmaster, sir! Good evening!
Oh, it is you, dear Spisab. Good evening. It is surprising to see you on a horse.
Surely not, Schoolmaster, sir. Isn't it exactly like one of those novels by Mrs. Agatha Christie you so enjoy? A busy district superintendent of police gets invited to a princely state because a murder has been committed, or more accurately, because a viceroy is expected. He makes inquiries, interviews people, and then feels the need to go away and brood. So he borrows a horse, planning on a good long ride, hoping to find the answer that seems stuck in the back of his mind like a pomegranate seed lodged in a back tooth.
Yes, Saab. You have acted very much in the tradition of the great detective. Except that instead of going away to brood, you have stopped to converse. And with me.
Well, you see, Schoolmaster Saab, life has a touch of ironic humor, I often find.
I too, Saab.
Because scarcely had I mounted this horse ready for my good long ride when, click, up into the front of my mind popped that elusive thought.
You mean, dear Saab, you know who did it?
Well, let's just say it was a curious idea that popped into my mind. A notion that things do not always have to be the way they seem.
Dear Spisab, what are you going to do?
Oh, I have a plan, Schoolmaster Saab. I have a plan.
Now listen, Captain Ramsing, I've got to see the Maharaja.
But Mr. Morton, you're seeing him now. There he is, talking with the Diwan.
I can see that. It's me he won't talk to. He won't talk business with me.
Oh, business. I'm afraid he's not fit.
Ladies and gentlemen, you all know why we have Mr. Howard staying with us. You must be as damn keen as I am to have the horrible business of my father's death properly cleared up.
Yeah.
Well, there is something Mr. Howard wants to say to all of us now.
Oh, well,
Mr. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, during my career in the Indian Police Service, I must have investigated well over 100 cases of murder. Mm-hmm. I can truly say that the murder of the Maharaja is unlike any other in my experience. Up to now, I've found that once the facts are brought to light, the circumstances of a murder become perfectly clear. But in this sad business, matters are not what they seem. And I'm afraid it's taken me some time to realize the true nature of this case.
Yes, yes, indeed. Mr. Howe is telling me...
Your Highness.
Yes, Mr. Howe?
Your Highness, I respectfully suggest that this matter is best dealt with by just one person.
Of course, Mr. Howe. Do please carry on.
Thank you, Your Highness. It was only this evening, while I was out riding to clear my mind a little, that I realized that I'd been making a fundamental error about the nature of this case. Like everyone, I'd been assuming that since the Maharaja was killed by one of his guns exploding, the essence of the matter was the somewhat unfortunate practical joke he had played with that piece of Sapura bark. What suddenly became clear to me this evening was that the key to this affair does not lie in that incident of the residence Rolls Royce at all. It lies, unless I am very much mistaken, in the dinner that took place on the night before the Maharaja met his sad end. In view of my discovery, ladies and gentlemen, I have consulted His Highness, and he has been good enough to agree to a plan I put to him.
Happy to comply, my dear fellow.
What I have asked His Highness to do is to arrange for tomorrow night a dinner party that will reproduce as exactly as possible the one held the night before the late Maharaja died. Just before I came in for drinks here, His Highness sent an invitation to Sir Arthur Pendeverell to attend this reconstruction, just as he attended the first one that night. To the best of our ability, everything will be played out precisely as it was that night.
There is one snag, Mr. Howard.
And that is?
Well, it's just Papa, my father, can't be there.
Of course not.
On the other hand, I was not present on the original occasion, so I shall, with your permission, of course, occupy your father's chair.
Well, Mr. Howard, I trust you've sought this interview in order to tell me at last who was responsible for the murder of the Maharaja.
I'm afraid not, Your Excellency.
Mr. Howard, I caused you to be summoned to Beauport for that reason only. You tell me you still have no idea who was responsible.
Yes, sir.
Well, may I ask why you've chosen to waste my time in this way?
Yes, sir. The Maharaja received your reply declining his invitation. I came to ask you to reconsider.
Mr. Howard, as I indicated in my response to His Highness, I'm not in the habit of accepting invitations at one day's notice.
Nevertheless, sir, on this occasion...
Mr. Howard, I gathered from the private note which the Maharaja included with his peremptory summons that you are the instigator of all this.
That is correct, sir.
And that the purpose was to reproduce, for some reason I've failed altogether to fathom, the dinner which the late Maharaja held on the night before his death. A peculiarly tasteless concept, if I may say so. Can you enlighten me on the object you had in mind?
Yes, sir, I think I can.
Pray do so, and quickly. I'm a busy man. I'm in the process of composing the cable to the Viceroy requesting him to postpone his visit to Beauport. It'll have to be sent tomorrow.
I hope not, sir.
What do you mean by that?
I hope that by means of this reconstructed dinner party, the question of who killed the Maharaja will be satisfactorily cleared up tonight.
How do you hope to achieve that, Mr. Howard?
It's like this, sir. I've come to the conclusion that the business isn't as simple as we thought at first.
Similar enough to me. One of only five people saw the Maharaja play his Sepura bark trick and could also have put a piece of the bark into the barrel of that Purdy. One of those five is the murderer. That's that.
That's what I did believe, sir. But I've come to the conclusion that the circle of possibilities is a little wider than that.
Oh, have you?
Unfortunately, though, this doesn't lead beyond doubt to the person responsible. So I must force the pace, force it as much as I possibly can. That's where this reconstruction business comes in, sir. In the atmosphere generated by an exact repetition of that dinner, I think I can learn what I finally need to know.
Oh, very good, Howard.
Greatly pondering your remarks of yesterday. And I do not fully understand the reason for this dinner party.
But you can guess.
Well, yes, Miss Ab, I surmise that you do not know precisely who you are looking for. But you do know the pattern of it. But time is your enemy. The Viceroy arrives in 8 days from now, so you must find an answer for the resident very soon. You must put fear into some person's heart. You must create a monsoon atmosphere, DSP Saab, heavy with tension.
Go on, Schoolmaster Saab.
Oh, yes, there is something else. It is exactly how the person, whichever one of those five it is, obtained that piece of Sepura bark, which Lieutenant Freer found on the person of Captain Ram Singh and left by chance in his bathroom. That is what you also hope to discover tonight, DSP Saab. Is it not so?
Shabash, Schoolmaster, well done. What shall we say? 8 out of 10? No, 9. 9 out of 10, Schoolmaster Sir.
Only 9?
Yes, 9 only, Schoolmaster Sir. You see, there is one thing you haven't cottoned on to.
Mm-hmm.
All along we have assumed that the murderer must be one of 5 possibles. The 5 who knew about the Sepura bark and also had the opportunity to put some down the barrel of the Maharaja's gun.
Yes, sir, that is so.
But think, Schoolmaster... The circle was not as small as everybody has been telling us, was it? When you look at it hard.
Ah. No, Saab, you are right. The circle is bigger than anyone has so far said.
Michael, there seems to be something left on your plate.
Well, it's a piece of rather awful fat, Father.
Eat it up, my boy.
But, Father...
You have to set an example, Michael. If you waste good food, what will the servants learn from that?
To waste things too, Father.
Exactly. So let me see your plate empty.
Yes, Father.
Well, go on. When a duty lies before you, there's only one course to take.
Father, is that why you're going to the palace tonight?
Hmm?
You are going, aren't you?
Yes, Michael.
Have you been made to go to dinner, then? Is the new Maharaja just as bad as the old one?
As bad as the old one, Michael, I'm afraid I didn't understand you. Do you have something against the old Maharaja?
What I don't see, Mr. Howard, is why you consider it so important for the resident to be at the dinner tonight.
It's very simple, Maharaja. I'm trying to find how that piece of sapura bark fell into the hands of whoever put it in your father's gun. The piece of bark left in Freer's bathroom.
Yes. Yes, I understand.
Someone went in there, saw the bark, and realized that the trick with the Rolls-Royce could be repeated with deadly effect.
But it wasn't the resident. He didn't know anything about sapura bark at the time, did he? So why must he be at the dinner tonight?
It's not because of what the resident did or did not do that night, Maharaja. It's because of what somebody else might have done while Sir Arthur wasn't at the residency to see them. If the same conditions prevail tonight, I shall be able to deduce what might have happened then.
Oh, I see.
Ladies and gentlemen, you all know why we are here this evening. At the request of District Superintendent of Police Howard, whom I have asked to Beauport to solve the appalling mystery of my father's death, we are reconstructing as closely as we can the events of his last evening on Earth. Mr. Howard will be standing in for my father. Now then, let us proceed. Vera!
Your Highness, Your Excellency, ladies and gentlemen, dinner is served.
Mrs. Alcott, was it not about now the Maharaja explained to you about the silver tray?
What? Oh, yes, Mr. Howard. That is, have I got to say Maharaja?
Mr. Howard will do. Now, was the train mentioned at this point?
I'm not sure. Oh, gee, does it matter about the train? I mean, if it's going to be important, I don't want to say. You may be going to hang someone on what I say. You do hang murderers here, don't you?
Yes. In British India, hanging is the penalty for murder. Of course, this case comes under the Bhopur administration, and the murderer might even be trampled to death by elephants.
Oh, I think I can answer your question, Mr. Howard. Yes, the toy train was mentioned at this point.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Then, if I've been told right, you, Mr. Morton, made some comment about the length of time it would take for the train to get round the table if everybody stopped it to help themselves from the truck.
Yeah, that's right. And then?
And then I pointed out that 40 of the 50 guests would never dare stop the train.
So you did, Maharaja. But before that, your father had made some sort of wisecrack about the train getting to me just as fast as I could wish. I guess I didn't cut down at the time that he was planning some damn fool prank.
Thank you, Mr. Morton. I hoped I could rely on a businessman's attention to detail.
And then I made a bit of a fool of myself.
I wouldn't say that, Miss Alcott. But now, as the Maharaja, I turn to you, Mr. Lloyd, and I say, Mr. Lloyd, have you been influencing this young lady? I have said, and I will not say again, only over my dead body will the water level in the Geels rise 1 inch above what it has always been. Are those the words, or more or less, that he used, Mr. Lloyd?
I guess so.
And what did you reply? As nearly as possible, the same words, please.
Oh, Your Highness, I never put a word into Judy's mouth. But I'll tell you this, you are wrong not to let the dam work to the full. What you're doing is nothing short of murder. You're murdering poor guys whose land's going to go dry when it damn well need not.
And soon afterwards, Devan Sahib, if I have the facts correctly, the Maharaja began to discuss with Mr. Morton here his project for bringing American methods of exploitation to Bhopur. Am I right in thinking that this is something you had never been told about before?
Yes, that was the first I knew of the plan. And needless to add, I totally opposed it.
We come next to another vital conversation in which you featured, Mr. Morton.
I guess I know what you mean, Mr. Howard. I was unhappy enough to refer to my hunting accident.
Exactly. Do you recall what you said?
Yeah, I think so. I told the Maharaja I wouldn't come on his, what do you call it?
The shikar of the Geels.
Yeah, that's it. I said I once had a hunting accident when a rifle got something jammed in his barrel and it exploded in my face.
Thank you, Mr. Morton. Ladies and gentlemen, the importance of that scrap of conversation can hardly be exaggerated. It could have been what put the idea into the murderer's head.
Mr. Howard, do we have to go on with this?
Yes, Mrs. Alcott, we do. A bearer, the Maharaja's meal. Thank you. Unlock the dish. If you remember, the Maharaja did not eat immediately. Instead, he began to recount his April Fool's Day feats. Am I not right?
Yes. Yes, you are right.
Yes, well, I don't intend to go over each of those incidents again. But I must get one important thing established. The joke with the sapura bark that the Maharaja played on Sir Arthur's son, Michael.
Now, will you all confirm to me, please, that in his long recital of tricks, the Maharaja made no mention whatsoever of that particular incident?
Can't remember. Yeah, well, I'm perfectly ready to affirm, Mr. Howard, that rather infantile business was in no way mentioned at dinner that night.
Good. I felt it was most important that no one should have any doubts about that.
So that means it is one of us five.
No, Mr. Freer, it doesn't.
Well, it's someone else.
But I don't see it. It may be one of you five, as you put it. But the circle was never as small as that, you know.
Well, I don't see how it was bigger. Only five of us watched the Maharaja's trick.
Yes, but someone else was there, besides the resident's driver, whom we've eliminated to our complete satisfaction.
Someone else?
Michael Penderell was there.
Oh, no.
Just a child, yes. But consider what was necessary to kill the Maharaja. Simply to push a piece of bark down a gun barrel and wet it a little.
But why, in heaven's name? It can't have been revenge for the trick played on him. I've got to know that lad quite well since I've been in Bhopal. The thought wouldn't occur to him.
Let me put this to you. You are young. Your mother has died. You are alone here in a remote part of India with your father. You worship that father, don't you?
Yes, little Michael worships his father.
Well then, think. The resident and the late Maharaja by no means saw eye to eye. Even a boy can read the signs.
Yes, yes.
But more than motive is needed for murder. How about means? How would little Michael have got hold of that piece of sapura bark? Very easily, in fact. He had only to creep out of his bed when his father had leapt for the palace here and saddle his pony. Perhaps he intended begging a piece from Captain Ram Singh.
But I never gave the boy a thing. I swear.
No, he wouldn't have needed to ask you. It was lying in Lieutenant Freer's bathroom.
Then it is little Michael.
It may be. Which is why I asked my friend the Maharaja's schoolmaster to keep a particular watch this evening. Schoolmaster, sir. Well, schoolmaster, sir.
One of the telephone orderlies has just inquired at the residency. The boy is asleep in his bed.
And on the night before the murder...
I have carefully asked each chokridar who was on watch in the grounds, DSP Saab. I am totally satisfied that neither the boy nor anyone else came into the palace.
Thank you, Schoolmaster Saab. Perhaps you would like to wait now.
So it's down to us five again.
I take nothing for granted, Mr. Freer. Shortly, I shall say a few words about the five prime suspects. But first, wasn't it at this point that the Maharaja made his somewhat unfortunate accusation against Captain Ram Singh?
Yes, it was now.
I'd like the episode gone through again, please. Will you go with Priya to his bathroom and find something to represent the piece of sapura bark? Just leave it on the stool. Yes, now. There's something left in your bathroom?
Yes, we put a cigarette packet there.
Excellent. Now, the Maharaja saw the train. It was now he set it in motion, wasn't it?
It was.
Good. Then I'll do the same, and I'd like you all to do exactly as you did that night. Take whatever you took from the trucks. And now a few words about the five suspects. In many ways, it is most unseemly for me to discuss His Highness here in front of his subjects, but because one possibility is that His Highness murdered his father, I feel I should speak publicly. What exactly were the relations between father and son? Everybody knew they were strained, but underneath all their differences, it is certain that the son loved the father. He loved his father after he was dead, and despite all their differences, loved him in the days immediately before his death. And this is why I never seriously considered His Highness as the murderer.
Thank you, Mr. Howard.
Now let's consider hatred. No one can doubt that Mr. Lloyd here had very strong feelings about the Maharaja. He repeated them tonight. If he considered His Late Highness a virtual murderer, he might well have felt entitled to execute him.
Yes.
The question is, would he have done so in that particular way? That will do, Mr. Lloyd, but he proves my point. He is a man of action, and the murder was not an impetuous one. Mr. Lloyd did not kill him.
Oh, Joe!
But he could have. How about the person who maintains that the simple business of blocking a gun barrel was quite beyond her? Miss Brattle.
Damn well was.
It was not Miss Brattle. Actually, you were quite resourceful. We met, did we not, when you were leaving the palace carrying a rather heavy suitcase. Mm-hmm. You were far from helpless.
But I didn't do it.
No, I don't think you did. And it was precisely your attempt to get away that showed me you didn't. You knew you'd survive. You had no need to murder the Maharaja. But what of the person who did have a motive? And not only motive, but means and opportunity.
I see you have come round to me, Mr. Howard.
Indeed, Devansa. It is very possible that you would have lost office under His Late Highness, and with it the chance to improve the life of Bhopur. And that meant more to you than life itself. But no. Devan Sahib did not murder the Maharaja. He is, I have no hesitation in saying to his face, a good man. Too good for that particularly horrible way of removing an obstacle from his path.
Oh, quite so, Mr. Howard. I could not have killed the Maharaja in that way.
And now, Lieutenant Freer. Look at him. The decent young man who had no possible motive for murdering the Maharaja. No possible motive, that says it all. He did not do it.
Oh, Jane.
The train. What's the train, Mr. Morton? This is the moment you took creme de cacao.
As if I could forget. What damn trick of the Maharaja shooting that stuff all over for me. My bloody fool set that up again. Covered all over.
Your Highness, would you take Mr. Morton to wash as you did last time?
I cannot apologize too much, Mr. Morton. Please, come with me. We'll soon get you cleaned up.
What did you say to him as you went last time, Your Highness? Say it again, please.
I don't know. How can I remember? I said something about my father's way of playing tricks. I said...
Yes? What did you say?
I'll tell you, damn it, word for word. I said, nothing stops him. Every April the 1st, it's the same thing. Only this afternoon, he put a piece of what we call Sapura bark into the exhaust pipe of the resident's car. Completely ruined the engine. And then, I went on to explain the whole joke as I took Mr. Morton to the nearest bathroom. Lieutenant Fears.
Exactly what I had come to think, thanks to the report of the dinner I had from my friend the schoolmaster here. You were quite right, schoolmaster, sir. Mr. Morton knew about the Sapura bark before the Maharaja was murdered, though he was not even in Bhopal when the trick took place. And he knew after that dinner that from someone as capricious as the Maharaja, his chances of getting the zinc concession were almost nil. And that concession meant a great deal to him with all his union troubles in America. So he decided to bet on the Maharaj Kumar, the progressive member of the family. Bearers, hold him! Good morning, Schoolmaster Sahib.
Good morning, DSP Sahib.
I'm glad I had the chance to say goodbye.
And I, DSP Sahib, would have wished to say that to have been, however humbly, a collaborator of the renowned DSP Howard will be till the end of my days a treasured memory for me.
Thank you very much, Schoolmaster Sahib.
Howard Sahib, if ever to the tally of my four daughters there is added a son, I tell you this. That boy, please God, shall become a police officer.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Goethe.
In The Murder of the Maharaja by H.R.F. Keating, dramatized by Neville Teller, Zina Muldeen played the Maharaja, Sam Dastor, DSP Howard, Renu Setner, the Diwan, Lyndon Gregory, Porgy, Philip Anthony, Sir Arthur, Luke Beeson, Michael, Basker, the schoolmaster, Rachel Atkins, Dolly, Sheila Mitchell, Mrs. Alcott, Una Beeson, Judy, Steve Hodson, Joe, Dominic Letts, Lieutenant Freer, Barry J. Gordon, Morton, and Amajit Dew, Ram Singh. The play was directed by Matthew Walters.